will try to not to keep you very long. I'll give you a bit of an abbreviated message of something the Lord downloaded on me many years ago, which in a way I had kind of forgotten about it for quite some time, even though the Lord was busy working on me. But he reminded me of it about 6 or 7 months ago. We put it back in my thinking, and I started looking for the material, which I had learned back in 1979 and 80. And it has to do with formation. And lo and behold, I didn't know, when Kim asked me to share, I didn't know what I was going to bring. I didn't have a clue up until last night. I had no notes. As you'll see, I'll just go as the Spirit gives me the word. Amen. But the message is entitled, The Harness of the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry, I just heard up. It starts with a vision that was given to a brother that some of you here might know. But anyway, it was in a convention. And that day, a lot of pastors and teachers were assembled together when the Spirit of the Lord fell on that assembly. Nobody amongst these ministers even dared to go on the platform to bring the message, although all of them that were present were well and able to bring a good message coming from the Lord. But nobody even dared go up there. There was a holy hush on the whole congregation. And then the Lord downloaded a vision to a particular brother who later became the first vice president of Pinecrest. And the vision that he received was this one. He saw a vision of a golden carriage, a royal carriage that was pulled by 6 horses. And you can imagine being a royal, the harnesses of these horses were all beautiful, decked with gold and silver. The carriage was all of gold. And this carriage was coming down the hill towards a particular farm area. But in the corral, in the fields around the farm, were 2 young colts. The 2 young colts represent newborn children in the kingdom of God. They're at full liberty. They've come out of the world, and they're in the fields of their master. They're being well fed. They've got plenty of food and water and everything that they need. But like any of us that received the Lord, we are not formed yet. We've come into a new liberty, and we are what you might call on a cloud 9. Everything is going beautiful. We haven't got a worry in the world. Everything is just beautiful. Until the day that the Master decides that he's going to form the colts. So here comes the Master with his lasso to catch the colts and bring them into the training corral. He gets them both in the training corral and starts the training with command. And as usual, anyone that knows anything about horses, there's a whip. He cracks the whip, and then it's to show the colts what to do, get them running around and then making them turn, and to learn to understand and receive also the spoken commands. That can go on for months and months until he can get them to a point where he doesn't need whip anymore. And they just go by command, by word. Or even so far as sometimes it'd be in the corral, he'll just turn his back on the colts. He'll go this way and the colts will follow him.
or go that way and then follow him.
Once that's accomplished, and people that are gotten to that point, especially the colts, the losing horses, then comes the next stage of training. Let's remember they know they had a harness in their back. And when you first try to put a harness on a young colt, even though he's been trained to follow voice command, at first it took a whip to get them going wherever the master wanted them to go. Now they've got the new thing which they have no idea or no knowledge of, and they've never had that experience before. And usually they start bucking. Well, during the first few weeks of that particular training, one of the colts decides, I've had enough of this. And he decides to jump the fence and get back into the field, running wherever he wanted. He wanted his freedom. If you compare it to most of us, they're still safe. He still belongs to the Lord. But he wanted his liberty, so the Lord let him go. The master let that colt go in the field. He thought, you know, the master was going to come back after him to try and bring him back in the fold. No, he just let him there. And that kind of puzzled the colt. But the one remained and went through the full training, while the other one was trying to taunt the one who was in the training. Why do you endure all that hardship and all of this? Why don't you come with me and we'll have our freedom, we'll run here and there. There's plenty of grass, there's plenty of water, there are rivers and there are streams. We'll have a good time in our freedom. But the other colt didn't answer. Didn't even pay attention to him. And that went on for months and months. And he kept taunting the other one continually while the other one was going through the training. But he wasn't finished his training. And then the vision goes like this. The master decides to saddle with the harness all of the older horses to take a trip somewhere. But the young colt is still not quite ready. But the vision shows that what the master can do with people, with horses that are well trained, that walk and move only at the master's command. They wait for an instruction, they won't move any other way. They go for a trip and then they come back. The training resumes for that one colt that decided to obey and remain in the corral with the master. But one of the things that was shown in the vision, the one who remained under the training was growing stronger and stronger, and it was visible to the eye that he was in a much better shape and form than the other colt, even though the other colt had, you know, good nourishment, plenty of grass, plenty of water. The food that the colt in training was getting, it was better for him. He was growing strong, and his coat was shining. And then all of a sudden, during the training, a drought comes. For us, you can apply it to times of desert. Dryness. The young colt is still going out and around in the field, the one that's decided to take his liberty, and he's seeking for food. But as time goes on, the drought gets harder and harder. The streams dry up, the rivers dry up, and the grass withers. And he's spending his energy going around trying to find food to nourish himself. But there is none. While his brother had stayed in the corral and stayed under the training of the master, only stronger and stronger and even more
beautiful.
And he asked his brother, how come? His brother doesn't answer. Just stands there, not a word, not, doesn't even pay him any attention. One day, the vision changed, and the young colt that had remained in the training of the master got harnessed along with five others. And guess where he was placed? He became the lead horse to the right, at the very front. All bet. Horses, you know, people that take real good care of them. They had pom-poms on the head, decked with gold and all of the trimmings and everything else. Harnesses, silver and gold trimmings on it. He gets placed in the lead position. And the young colt that's in the field, that is all kind of weak, has a hard time standing on his own two legs. Is out there and is wondering, where do you get the food to stay as strong as you are? Colt is not answering. He's not moving. But lo and behold, in the vision, they're all harnessed to the royal carriage. And they're all standing there still in the hot sun. Not a movement. The tail not moving. Nothing. Just completely still. But what caught our attention was the man was behind the last row of horses working on the carriage on something on the underneath. That's the most dangerous place to be, especially for team horses that are not trained. Because all it takes is one of the last horses to kick. And he's done for. I mean, you get some of those animals, especially from that particular type, they're, you know, 1,800 pounds and upwards, depending on their race, of course. But yet, that man is underneath in there, and he's working at something underneath the carriage. And he's not paying any attention to the horses. And he's not speaking. And that went on for quite a while. So, we're puzzled. What's going on? How come these horses are standing so still in the hot sun? And the young colt that's out past the corral is asking his brother, why are you standing in this hot sun being scorched? And yet, you look real good and I'm in trouble. How come is it that I'm not getting this? And how come is it that the master is not treating me like you? Still no answer. Then all of a sudden, the master gets out from underneath. He just gets on the place and he takes the reins. And all he does is a little tug on the reins. And the horses all go in unison. They take off and they go on the trip. A few days later, here comes the coach again with the six horses. Again, the younger colt is in the lead at the front. Now the other colt is really questioning, what is going on? How come the master is not giving me and is not treating me like the others? And especially like you. Why? Then the Lord explained to our brother, the one who received the vision. The two colts were a representation of the church, the body of Christ. When it came time for the training, one accepted to be trained and formed in the harshness of the training because you're good, you're getting into a newness of life. It's totally different. You were used to your liberty, they were used to doing whatever they wanted. most of the Christians that we know, a lot of them are running from one place to the other, one church to the other, but they're not growing. Why? Because they're not really willing to give up their own ideas, their own thoughts, or their own theology. They want to do, in other words, what they want to do. They're not accepting. But the ones who remain under the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, they learn. They accept the directives of the Lord. They allow themselves to be changed, even though there are a lot of hardships. It's very hard because you're getting into a new territory. Things that are in the unknown, but they're willing to be changed, to be transformed. They're willing to give up their own way of life, to take on the Master's direction, to be changed and transformed so that you become what the Master wants. You see, God does not want robots. He wants a totally deep, intimate relationship with us individually and as a body. He's not wanting us to run around all over the place seeking after doctrines, after the teachings of this one and that one, because they're well known. He wants fruits coming from each of us, but fruits according to His way. Because He is the Master. He began a work in each one of us, and He is the one that will bring it to fulfillment. We can't do it. He's the trainer. He's the teacher. He is the fruit. He is the life. If He is the life, then why would I want to do my own thing and go wherever I want and do whatever I want? It will never work out. He'll allow us to go so far, and then we hit a brick wall. That's as far as we'll go. He wants us completely to Himself, and when we will be transformed, be fully trained, all we'll hear is a little instruction there, and He'll say, I would like for you to do this. He's not going to give you a command, because by that time, you will be so in love with Him as a bride towards her husband. And as you heard our brother this week, well, for those who were there and this gentleman back, you didn't hear what our brother Doug mentioned, the woman is really our soul, whereas the Master is the Spirit within us, because we have all received the same Spirit of truth in us, which is the Spirit of the Lord. He is our husband. The woman, the soul, has to come in line with the Spirit, and not vice versa. And when we'll have this, we will receive what is known as the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of our inheritance, which is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, which we have received the measure only so far. But as we grow and we mature, we receive more and more of the Holy Spirit, and the more and more that the Holy Spirit takes control of our lives, then we will be able, under the ability and the strength and the power of God, to go about doing the works of God. With this, I want to bring you into a portion of Scripture that's in Matthew chapter 13. Everybody has heard the parable in the teachings about the wheat and the good seed, the wheat, something I've always found very funny in that particular scripture. It's in Matthew 13, I believe it's there, verses 32 through 43. The servants of the Lord had asked at one point, "Do you want us to go and remove the tares out from your field?" And the master replied this, "No, let both grow together. And at the end, I will send my angels, and I will give them instruction, and they will remove the tares." But it's, here's a little catch. You have to pay attention and really be seeking the Lord to catch that particular one. Because he says, remove the tares from out of my kingdom. We are the members of the kingdom of God. We are the tares. They're us. Every one of us, we were born into this world being children of darkness. And all of our lives, the enemy has sown wrong teachings, wrong truth, the ways of the world, in other words. And not all are removed. Not all have been dealt with. Every one of us has situations in our lives that have not been dealt with as yet. And the only way they'll be dealt with is as we abandon ourselves to the Lord, to let Him bring us to a point where we will be willing to abandon. First of all, He has to show us what it is. And that's by His Spirit. He shows us the things that are not quite correct in our lives. And don't be too surprised at one point in time if it's not something that was already a gift from God. I will relate to you an experience which I lived personally. And what I had was a gift of God. I believed for a long period of time, and I asked the Lord to put me in remembrance of all of the words that He had spoken unto us by His Spirit, but also to give me book, chapter, and verse. So anytime, anywhere the Word of God was spoken, the minute someone opened their mouth and started sharing a particular verse without giving the reference, instantly, just like that, I had the book, chapter, and verse would come up. Even to a point where here I am in a convention, and the preacher, the one who was bringing the message, him and his wife were on the podium, and all of a sudden he turns to me because I was handling the sound system on his right. He says, "Hey, the concordance, where is it written?" And he starts quoting the verse. No sooner asked, I tell him the book, chapter, verse where it was. He turned and it was there exactly. And yet, look at this. I never, never memorized a verse of scripture in my whole life. And I had come to the Lord back in 1978. And I never memorized the Word of God. Yet you started to speak one word, and I could give you book, chapter, and verse where it was written. And if that particular sentence would appear in more than one verse, I could give you all of the references, one after the other. But that day, when that man did this, look at what happened. I saw a red light within appear. I'm sitting there. What in the world does the red light represent? What does it all mean? Then all of a sudden, the Lord started to illuminate certain truth in me. I could have fallen into pride. Not necessarily by my own fault, but because that ability that had been given to me by the Lord, if you remember this week, Doug spoke about something that made one of our biggest strengths that could also be our worst enemy. Well, there was an example. In a way, Doug prepared all of this for me this morning. So when I saw that red light, the first thing that came when I questioned the Lord what this was all about, that's where he showed me, you could fall into pride. You have knowledge of my word. You know my word frontwards and backwards. All one.